Leroy did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In Clapham and Brixton Hill, NHS workforce planning has broken the link between people who want to train as nurses and the wards that desperately need them. While hospitals advertise for agency staff at premium rates, qualified applicants are turned away from training programs that sit half empty.
This is what happened when I tried to become the nurse my community needed. I grew up watching my mum save lives. She came here from Jamaica in the 70s, trained as a nurse, and spent 30 years on the wards at King's College Hospital. My dad worked for British Rail, steady hands and steady hours, but it was mum's work that fascinated me. She'd come home with stories about the difference a good nurse could make, how the right word at the right moment could calm someone's fear, how proper care could mean the difference between recovery and complications. I took a detour after school. Sports science at university, then 5 years as a fitness instructor around South London. I love helping people get stronger, but during the pandemic, watching the news, seeing the pressure on the NHS, I kept thinking about mum's stories. I wanted to make that kind of difference. At 30, I decided it was time to train as a nurse. I started with King's College London in 2022. I had everything they asked for: A-levels, volunteer experience at a local care home, glowing references from the residents' families. I spent weeks on my personal statement, explaining why I wanted to follow my mother into healthcare. The application process was smooth until the rejection letter arrived. 847 applicants for 120 places. The letter was polite but clear. Meeting the requirements was not enough. Competition was fierce. I tried St. George's, University of London, the following year. I strengthened my application, got some additional volunteering hours, took a first aid course. The care home where I volunteered wrote me an even stronger reference. The manager said I was exactly the kind of person the NHS needed. 6 months later, another rejection. No explanation this time. Just a standard letter thanking me for my interest. London South Bank University was my third attempt. I called the head this time, spoke to someone in admissions. She was sympathetic, but frank. The government has capped our training places. We simply cannot afford to take more students, even though we'd like to. I asked what she meant by capped. She explained that health education in Ildaw, England, controlled the number of nursing students each university could accept, and the numbers had been frozen despite rising demand. I started volunteering at Guy's and St. Thomas's NHS Foundation Trust while I waited for the next application cycle. I wanted to understand the hospital environment, to show future admissions panels that I was serious. The ward sister I worked under was grateful for the help, but frustrated by the situation. "We are desperately short-staffed," she told me one afternoon as we watched agency nurses arrive for their shifts. "But the money isn't there for training. We're paying three times as much for temporary staff because we can't recruit permanent nurses." That made no sense to me. If training costs less than agency staff, why not train more nurses? I started paying attention to the details around me. One afternoon, walking past London South Bank University's nursing simulation lab, I peered through the windows. Rows of empty beds stretched across the room. High-tech mannequins lay silent under dust covers. Equipment that could train a dozen students at once sat unused. A security guard noticed me looking. I asked him about the lab. "Could accommodate 200 students easily," he said. but they're only allowed to train 120. 80 empty places, 80 people who could be learning right now. I started asking questions. The university wanted to expand, but Health Education England's budget had been cut by HM Treasury, the same Treasury that had found billions for bank bailouts during the financial crisis, told universities they couldn't afford to train the nurses that hospitals were crying out for. The contradiction became impossible to ignore. That same week, I met three qualified nurses at my mother's church. All had recently passed their assessments. All were looking for work. One had been told by three different trusts that they had no budget for new hires. While those same trusts were advertising identical roles through agencies at double the cost. I watched empty training places while qualified people couldn't find work. I watched hospitals pay premium rates for temporary staff while claiming they couldn't afford permanent ones. I watched buildings equipped for training sitting half empty while people like me were told there was no room. The more I looked, the clearer it became. The training facilities existed. The people who wanted to train existed. The hospitals that needed nurses existed. What didn't exist was the willingness to spend the money that would connect them. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the equipment was available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still asking why empty training labs and unfilled wards exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. I know now that this is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist inches apart, while the government that issues the currency claims it cannot bridge the gap.
What Leroy experienced has a name: fake experts. Throughout history, industries have manufactured authority to defend profitable myths. Tobacco companies cited scientists who questioned the cancer link. Pharmaceutical companies quoted researchers who downplayed addiction risks. The pattern is always the same. Select voices that support the desired conclusion, present them as the consensus. In Leroy's case, every time someone said there is no money, they cited economists who treat the household analogy as self-evident. Government spending, they argue, must be rationed like family finances. These voices are presented as neutral authorities, but they repeat an assumption, not a fact. The austerity objection claims, economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. In Leroy's story, those resources were sitting idle. Empty training labs, qualified applicants, understaffed wards. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Clapham and Brixton Hill ranks 190 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 from MHCLG. 863 charities are registered in the constituency, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. The area received £43.8 million in total grants, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.